Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Care for Animals, number 386 shows and counting. And this is just so wonderful because this show has been going on for almost 9 years at the end of June. It started out with Marty Oakley, TS Radio Network, first show up to 163rd show. And after that, she helped me get together Animal Advocates Radio. And they kept the same name, Voices Care for Animals. So a big shout out to her also and all her help that she has given me to get started here back in 2014 on the 164th show to the current this evening. So Marty Oakley, thank you so much. And she listened to her some of her shows, a website, the PPJ Gazette online. That's her website. So if you'd like to visit it, and you can follow my podcast from there on the right-hand column under follow. Put your email address, and every time that there's a new podcast broadcast coming up or article, it will alert you in your primary email. And also on Blog Talk Radio, if you go to www.blogtalkradio.com/voicescaredforanimals, and press follow under the logo, and that also will alert you when any of my upcoming broadcasts are coming in. Please spread the word, because the bigger the audience, everyone, the better for the animals in need and distress, because we have issues on this show coming from every angle, and we're not going to give up. We're relentless, and the key is to take action, because changes don't happen on its own. So we have to push harder and fight harder and do what's necessary to get these changes done for these animals, for better lives and futures, because they so well deserve. But if you go to the PPJ Gazette online, www.ppjg.me, and at the bottom of the promos, you can also share them from there. Or if you want to go back to archive shows, that live podcast on the right-hand column is just search Voices Care for Animals, or you could put my name, Debbie Dahmer, or Animal Advocates Radio, and it should pop up. So, and just, press what link you want to, radio show you want to listen to, and then wait a minute to download, and it will play. You can share and listen 24/7, and that's the good news. But anyway, I just want to go over a couple more things here, and we're going to get the show started. My name is Debbie Dahmer, a.k.a. Mama Bear, and Mama Bear does care because she is on the air. And I really love doing these shows for the animals. It's being a positive impact, and hope all of you are positive impact out there and do something out there to make their lives better, because it's so very important. And that's what I'm trying to do. It's not the only thing that I do is this radio platform, but I also take action of, sharing things through social media, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, LinkedIn, whatever is petitions or promos on my show and my group, Voices Carry for Animal Support Group on Facebook. Feel free to join there, because there's animals on there that's on death row and they need to bring the safety. So please check it out. He cross posters out there. A big shout out to all of you that's in there, and they're relentless. They network all so much to help these animals. So please adopt, don't shop, spay and neuter your pets, and let's curb this problem of all this. You get putting animals down every year, millions of them, because of overcrowding. Let's do what's right, everyone, and help them out. Let's see a better and stronger year 2023. And we can all make a difference. We just got to at least try. But I wanted to go ahead and get the show started here. Our guests tonight will be Linda Grievous and Heather Hellier, and they're the organizers of the Save Our Wild Horses conference, April 22nd through the 26th of this year in Washington, D.C. And it's going to be great, everyone. You should see this lineup. I mean, it is awesome. So many great speakers going to be there. And so please help spread the word. There is a petition to sign of help in the brutal extermination of America's wild horses and burros. I got it on my Facebook page and all the groups I admin, and it's also on the promo. So you just got to press the link. It's on the petition site. And there's a lot of signatures right now, but we're trying to hit over 100,000. So we need your help. But I want to get the show started here. And Linda Grievous, how are you this evening? Welcome aboard. This is awesome. Yes.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Debbie, for having us. We are excited to be here. And I am actually coming from World Horse Expo in Pennsylvania, and we're here sharing information and talking to a lot of very interesting people. And it's, again, our focus is teaching people and helping them become better advocates, and through different means, through, of course, social media, and we're trying to get people involved with their legislators and get the truths out about our horses and the need for them to be protected properly and managed properly. And not just the horses, but all our public lands and all our wildlife. And like I said, I'm here at this event. So Heather's going to do the rundown on this. And Heather and I are partners with the conference, the lobby day, and the rally. So I'll let Heather take it over from there, and I'll chime in probably at the end.
Okay, that sounds good, Linda. And I know it's great to have both of you on. And back in April, I'm going to have both back on again, everyone. So please tune in and just help them out, all of us coming together, and give them our ultimate support, because these wild horses and burros, they need our voices, and they need them now, okay? So we want to get them, what's going on with them. It is terrible. And I mean that. I've had several shows on these wild horses and burros, and they need better treatment. They need to live free, and that's the main thing. But Heather, go ahead. You're live and on the air. You there?
Hi, Debbie.
Welcome
Thank
aboard.
You so much. Yes, I am. Thank you. We really appreciate you doing this for us today. We're trying to bring as much attention to our conference in April that we can. And this is the second year that we've held the Save Our Wild Horses Conference. We are once again holding it in Washington, D.C. again this year, and there's a reason for that. We have just entered a new two-year congressional session, so we have 2 years to try and get this session of Congress to pass legislation that will benefit our wild horses and burros and our public lands. So we have 5 days planned for the conference events. The first day is going to be the Wild Horse Rally on the National Mall. That is being held on Saturday, April 22nd from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. We will be announcing the exact location as we get closer, as soon as the National Park Service assigns us our spot. We welcome everyone to join us for this event. We're going to have some pop-up tents set up with posters, photographs, informational brochures. We're putting together a wild horse parade of sorts where we'll have some wild overhead wild horse puppets. We'll need people to help us carry those around. We have banners, and we need volunteers to help us pass out the brochures and talk to the public about the plight facing our wild horses and burros today. We're going to follow that day up with 3 days at the conference itself, which is being held at Yotel DC. It's a beautiful hotel who worked with us last year to put on a fantastic event. The conference itself is being held Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, April 23rd to April 25th, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. We have about 15 guest speakers lined up, and we're also trying to line up some congressional members to join us. We have confirmed one already. Last year, we had Representatives Cohen and Titus, both of whom are big fans of wild horses, join us, and we are speaking to their offices again as well. Those 3 days are going to be followed up with our Wild Horse Lobby Day, where we will be meeting in the morning, and we're going to visit Capitol Hill. Hopefully by then, all of the attendees who are joining us for the conference will have scheduled appointments in person or via the phone with their congressional members. And then we're going to join up and hand out congressional packets and wild horse calendars to as many congressional offices as we can get into on that day. And one of the main reasons that we're doing that is we want to make a strong in-person presence. And one of the things that really got us wanting to do that is that in January of this year, the Public Lands Council, which is also known as a group of ranchers, were already on Capitol Hill before January 10th, speaking to the 82 new members of Congress about how cattle on our public lands is a good thing and how wild horses are not. So it's very important for us to show up in person and make a strong presence so that we can give our congressional members the other side of the story about how wild horses actually benefit the land and how they bring a beauty and a majestic presence to our land in the American West. So anybody who can help us on Wild Horse Lobby Day, the morning of Wednesday, April 26th, we welcome you to join us on that day as well. The rally and lobby day are both free events, so we welcome everyone to join us. The three-day conference with all of our speakers is just $200, which is a really good deal for 3 days of the caliber of speakers that we have coming, which include Laura with Wild Horse Education, Eric Molvar with Western Watersheds Project. We have a representative from peer.org. We have Ginger Fedak with In Defense of Animals. We have very popular wild horse photographers, Sandy Sharkey, Jim Brown, and Carolyn Christie. And we invited Christine with Chasing Horses Wild Horse Advocates to join us this year, and she was key in helping to get legislation in the state of North Dakota introduced, and she's working really hard to protect the wild horses of Theodore Roosevelt National Park, so we're excited to have her join us this year as well.
This is just wonderful. I mean, this list and everything, and it's so inspiring, and I want to keep up with it. I want to keep sharing the petition that's on the, the petition site. I want to keep passing that along.
Yeah, the petition is, that's on the CARE 2 site, and I just checked it about an hour ago, and we are just over 72,000 signatures, and we're really hoping to get 100,000 signatures by mid-April so that we can print out a copy of that petition, take it with us to Wild Horse Lobby Day on the Hill and show the representatives just how many people care about keeping our wild horses and burros on our public lands.
Yes, and that's a lot of signatures. You got my word. I will keep passing along because not everybody's on social media at the same times and days, so it's best to keep bringing it through, and on all sites, everyone. Sign it and share it. Share it with your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers. Hey, the more signatures up there, the better for the wild horses and burros. And what you're saying is on the CARE 2 petition site. And like I said, it says help end the brutal extermination of America, horses and burros. So please sign it and please pass it along. And also, Heather, can you give your Facebook page and your website too, so they can all, you know, in case any of you come in late, you can always go back to these shows and get all the information you need, because they're so informative and in how you can help out and do your part. Because, hey, we are, like Ray Bittner, Mama Cat says, we are strength in numbers. So the more of us come together, the better and stronger we become. Right, Heather? It's just that I see it happen so many times when the victories come through. And, hey, it's not for one person. It takes teamwork. Strong leaders, strong supporters. It goes right to strong victories, okay? So everyone, you know, please pass this petition along. And we got plenty of time, but, hey, the more signatures, the better. Because I've seen some of the petitions go up to 800,000, you know, 900,000, a million. So it shouldn't be nothing to keep this petition going viral. So do your part. But go ahead, Heather, and then your Facebook page and your website. That way it'll help them out.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So our website is saveourwildhorses.net. And that same name, Save Our Wild Horses, is used on our Facebook page and also our Instagram page. So Instagram.com/SaveOurWildHorses. On the website itself, we have all sorts of information about the conference, including the link to the petition that you mentioned. And there's also tips on there to help you with lobby day, how to schedule an appointment with your congressperson or with your senators for in-person or via Zoom, and then tips on how to make that happen via phone calls or via the contact page on their website. We also have on the website just all sorts of things to do with wild horses, everything to help you with your advocacy. We've started a new wild horse postcard campaign for the months of March and April, which is really taking off. It's getting very popular, and there's a whole section on the front page of the website geared for that. Our hope is that we'll get thousands of postcards mailed into the White House and to congressional members throughout the months of March and April, and that will be a really great lead up to when we arrive for the conference. So they'll have those postcards coming in and sitting on their desks, and then they'll know why we're there. In addition to that, we have a couple of different fundraisers, both of which the links are on the front page of the website. And these fundraisers are to help us fund the conference, which is in Washington, D.C. It can get a little bit expensive there. But Linda and I, being grassroots organizers, we are paying for this out of pocket. One of the great fundraisers we have is an absolutely gorgeous 41-inch by 21-inch limited edition metal print that was taken by Valerie Henry with Koru Photo Designs. And this particular print features two gorgeous wild stallions from the McCulloch Peaks HMA in Wyoming, which happens to be my heart herd. The value on the print is $1,800, but raffle tickets are only $25 each. So that would really help us out if everybody could take a look at that. Again, I mentioned the postcard campaign, so I have links to several different places where you can get postcards, or I encourage you to make up your own postcards. Get children involved. You can pick up blank postcards and have them do drawings of wild horses or burros, and then address those to your member of Congress, to your senators, and to the White House. I've had people send me examples of postcards where they used wild horse stamps, and they stamped all over the front of the postcard and then wrote Save Our Wild Horses on it. I've got lots of people placing large orders for postcards that are available through the website, and they're going to get together with groups of their friends and fill those out together or get classes of school children involved. All of that, all of these different things help bring attention to the wild horses and burros, and it's something that we need to do continuously. So one of my favorite phrases right now is wild horses need our voices. And one of the hashtags that we're using right now was created by Sandy Sharkey Photography. She's one of the great speakers that we have coming to the conference. And her new favorite hashtag is, but I'm just one person, said 300 million people. And that's how many people we have in this country. So if everybody who loved wild horses and burros made their voices heard by participating in the postcard campaign, or more importantly, coming to the conference and learning about rangeland health, learning about the wild horses, learning about our ecosystems, and then helping us to take part in both the rally and lobby day, that is really what grabs people's attention. One story that I like to tell a lot lately is that I listened to a representative from Arizona, Representative David Schweikert, He was in a webinar last year that I listened to, and he really loves wild horses. I made some notes from his talk, and one thing that he said was that most of his colleagues, i.e. most members of Congress, truly have no idea what's actually happening with our wild horses, and that, in fact, most of them don't even know we have wild horses in the American West. And he said that advocates must do a better job of talking to their members of Congress by phone and at town halls. Attend a town hall in person and just get the attention of your congressperson for 1 minute. You know, talk to them about wild horses quickly and how important they are to you. He also said that he does feel like there is a swing starting to happen, and that if we can just work a little harder to inform Congress of the wrongs that are happening to our wild horses, he really feels that pretty soon they're going to say to themselves, you know what? What's happening right now, how the Bureau of Land Management is handling our wild horses, is not working. So let's try this other way. And that's what we're trying to do, is to get everybody to make their voices heard so that we can get a new way to manage our wild horses and burros.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And everyone, you know, you can email your representatives, you can call them, you can meet them in person, you know, fax them, whatever it takes, and make that your voice heard, because all of our voices really do matter. Our actions really do matter. So whatever you can do, and please spread the word, you know, or the phone number to find your representatives is area code 202-224-3121. And during business hours, they'll ask for your zip code and ask to speak to your state representative or senator. And if you can't speak to them, ask to speak to their legislative assistant. Email them, you know, make your voice heard, because your actions are very important in this world and are in all of our lives and animal lives, because we're all on this earth temporarily and we got to make the best of it, right, Heather? We have to do what's right, and we can't ignore it. We can't look the other way, because there's issues out there and they need taken care of, because if we look the other way, the problems only get worse and prevail, and we don't want that. So please help out the wild horses and burros, because they deserve it so much. All animals deserve to be treated better out there, and they all need to be treated with dignity and respect all the way. You know, no questions asked. So do your part and let them live freely in comfort and, you know, free from abuse and neglect, cruelty, because I know those, I've seen photos of those and videos of the helicopter roundups. Heather, it's terrible. I mean, they look traumatized, and it's animal cruelty front lines, and it's wrong, you know, so we got to get that stopped.
It's absolutely wrong, yeah. Yeah. Whoa. Yeah. Linda and I actually attended a roundup last September, and it was my first one and her second one. We attended the Cedar Mountain Wild Horse Roundup in Utah. And you're absolutely right. It's completely traumatizing. The helicopter would at times be gone for 45 minutes to an hour, both looking for wild horses in the hills, but also spent a long amount of time bringing them back to the trap. And you could tell that so many of them were just absolutely exhausted by the time that they got back there. And, you know, in case nobody's seen footage or photographs or video of a wild horse roundup, you know, the helicopters will go out and search for horses. They will chase them for miles over what is often uneven terrain. Some wild horse areas are filled with volcanic rock. All wild horse areas have fencing, fencing that's laying on the ground that the horses could trip on. There's ravines. Wild burros have been chased through ravines, and that has resulted in broken necks. The helicopters chase the wild horses into what's called a jute. It's a long trap, and he chases them into the trap, and they are immediately squeezed into very small corrals and then separated and loaded onto trailers. Those trailers are then trucked to a short-term holding facility, and by this time, the wild horse family bands, who have lived together their entire lives, wild and free on the range, are now immediately separated from each other. The stallions are put into one pen. The mares are put into another. Mares that have young foals under the age of 6 months are put into a fourth pen, and any foals over the age of 6 months are put into a pen by themselves. And at this particular roundup, I personally witnessed a gorgeous roan stallion. He was standing in his corral, and he could see his mare just 6 feet away in another pen. And he stood as close to her as he possibly could. And it's traumatizing because they call to each other, but they can't touch each other. Yeah, they can see each other, but they can't touch each other. And the very next day, those stallions were loaded onto a semi-truck and shipped away, and the mares were loaded onto a different one and shipped away. And those horses will never see each other again. Those foals will never see their mothers again.
This is so devastating. I mean, devastating. And they deserve so much better. Where are the animals' rights at? You know, we as humans want our rights granted, not ignored. Where are these animal rights at there, Heather? It's sickening. It's like they're getting ignored and not important, look the other way. Animal cruelty is animal cruelty. You know, these animals, and Morris says that, you know, it's a ban to eat, you know, human consumption on horses in the United States. But yet they can ship them to Canada, Mexico, Japan, all the rest of them. That's contradicting itself. Leave them here. Don't ship them over there. I can see a money trail going on here. And it's sickening. Greed, greed, greed. Greed bullies at large. You know, it's profit before animals. And that's a sickening. It is disgusting. And another thing I wanted to bring up, Ford Mustang, I wish they would step up to the plate and stand up for the Mustang horses, because the cars were named after the Mustang horses, you know, and for a long time, and they're still around for many, many years.
Well, how many commercials do you see on the TV, not only from Ford but other automakers? I think there's a Land Rover commercial out right now that features wild horses running. You know, all sorts of different ads and commercials use clips of wild horses running across the range, you know, and they're used as a romantic notion. But, you know, what they don't tell you is that those wild horses are being systematically removed. Did you know that in 1971, when the original Wild Horse and Burro Act was passed, we had 329 different wild horse herd areas spread across the American West. Today, we have just 170. So the Bureau of Land Management is just systematically zeroing out wild horse herd after wild horse herd after wild horse herd. And it is not for the good of the land, because those horses are then replaced with thousands and thousands, millions more livestock, cattle and sheep.
Oh, my goodness. This is so it's mind-blowing to let this stuff still continue on and on. And so glad all of you are, you know, all of us, because me too, are fighting for their rights. They don't have a voice. Animals are defenseless, helpless, voiceless, and we have to be their voices, or they don't stand a chance at all.
That's
so
right.
If there's
That's
only
right.
a
Absolutely.
Handful of us, you know, hey, there's only a handful of us, we're spinning our wheels. So the more of us, everyone, strength in numbers, Ray Bettner, Mama Cat, power in numbers, because I've seen it happen so many times. You know, so we have to keep the pressure up. I've seen so many times where if something goes hot for a while, it's all over the internet, it's all over social media, and then it dies down. You know, and it's like, no, we can't let it die down until we hit a victory. We have to keep going. We have to go on strong. Because once we weaken out, hey, might as well say goodbye to it. You know, so please, everyone, call your state representatives, area code 202-224-3121. Give your zip code and ask to speak to your rep or senator, not there. Ask to speak to the legislative assistant. And tell them, hey, we need to do something about these wild horses and burros. Because enough is enough, right, Heather? I mean, it's terrible. We could do
enough is enough, yeah. And I just want to remind everybody, too, that keep in mind, when you do call your representative's office, more than likely you're going to be speaking with one of their staff members. And those staff members are usually young people in their, you know, mid-young 20s. You need to be polite when calling in. Be very clear about your message, but be polite and professional and mature and calm. And make sure that you have a little script written up before you call in, you know, with your facts and science. You can get all of this information on the website at saveourwildhorses.net, and it will help you with that call. But don't just make one call. Follow up with an email. Anytime any new relevant information comes up about wild horses and burros, email it over to that staff member that you spoke to. Make sure you get their email address when you talk to them. And at least once a month, be touching base with their office. And then if new wild horse legislation comes up, and we haven't had too many come up so far yet in this new congressional session, then make sure you call them back and ask them to support that legislation so that we can work on getting it passed. That is the only way that we're going to get our wild horses and burros protected. And everybody needs to be doing it. Wild horses need all of our voices.
That's right. And there's millions, like you were saying, millions and millions of us out there. And I know there's a lot of animal lovers out there. Look at all the animal pages and groups and on every social media. And if everybody would take that right foot in the right direction, we got something going on here. And that takes all of us to do it. We can't just have a handful, everyone. So please spread the word. Be a part of the solutions, not the ongoing problems. Do you want to continue to see these helicopter roundups on these wild horses and burros? I know I say no, definitely not. So what do I got to do? I got to take action. Because it's not going to change on itself. We have to contact, we have to be there. And this big wild horse or Save Our Wild Horse Conference in D.C., April 22nd through the 26th, is going to be a positive impact, okay? So give them your support. Help share the website, the Facebook pages, the petitions, whatever you can do, because all of your help, it's all your efforts really do matter. You know, it's better than doing nothing. Be a positive impact in this world, not a negative one to do nothing. And just because complaining don't get you nowhere. We could talk all about this all we want to on this radio platform or behind four walls or on the phone, but until we take action, that's when we're going to see results. Right, Heather? We have to do this. So please,
Absolutely. Everyone,
yes, and do your part. Put a little love in your heart and do your part, because that's what matters. You know, be the change you want to see. Because it's not that difficult. You're sitting at home in the comfort of your own home and your phone and your computer, your copier, your fax, whatever. It can't get no easier to help make changes. And I want to do some of them postcards too there, Heather, for sure. That would be awesome. You know, so I'll give more information on that and pass the news, because that's how things get done, is you let it go viral. Not just keep it to yourself. You know, sign the petition, but not
right.
only sign it, share it. You know,
share
get it out there.
Yep.
Yep. Because just think, if you put it in news feed and it goes on, you know, goes viral, hey, just like it's over 72,000 signatures already on that petition. So that's going viral. That's a lot of signatures there. So that wasn't just sitting in one place for a whole month or so. No, it was moving. And I've seen that so many times. Hey, I'll pass it as many times as I need to, because I can't catch everybody on social media at the same time of days. So, and plus, if it goes too far down the news feed, some people won't even get to it because there's so much stuff there. So please share, everyone, and make those calls. And you want to take any calls there, Heather, right now, you and Linda? Because we have a caller.
Yeah, we can do that.
We got a packed house. Thank you all for tuning in. Area code 631, you're live and on the air. Welcome aboard to Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Care for Animals. Go right ahead.
Hi, Debbie. Hi, ladies. It's Lauren Contino.
Yes, hello, Lauren. How are you? Thanks for calling in.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you two ladies, if the horses, where are they that they're rounding them up? What state is it again?
So there are several wild horse herds in the states of Oregon, California,
Arizona, Nevada, Colorado, Wyoming. There's just one herd left in Montana and just two herds left in New Mexico.
Now, do they have laws against wild horses or wild animals? You know what I'm saying? It's like in those states, is there a law that doesn't permit this type of roundup? Because it's
so
a wild animal regardless.
Yeah, that's our opinion, too, that wild horses and burros are wild animals. Absolutely. That's why they have the term wild in front of them. Wild horses and domestic horses are completely different from each other. So the Wild and Free Roaming Horses and Burros Act that was passed in 1971, and I will say that it was passed unanimously by Congress, gave the Bureau of Land Management the task with protecting our wild horses and burros as the primary use of the land that they were on. And unfortunately, what has happened is that our public lands in the West, ranchers just feel that that land belongs to them. They graze their cattle and sheep out there by the millions for a pittance each month. A cow-calf pair is just $1.35 a month, or five sheep is just $1.35 a month. And the famous saying to that is you can't even feed a hamster for $1.35 a month. So this is a taxpayer-subsidized program, and that is the only true reason that the horses and burros are being removed from our public lands, is so that they can be replaced with millions of cattle and sheep. The Bureau of Land Management's Wild Horse and Burro Program is a complete failure with the way that they're running it. They should be doing range management first, and they're just not doing it. They're just choosing to remove the horses instead.
Yeah, let me ask you a question now. So in other words, there's human beings that are on that land, right?
Okay. Human beings? No.
Yeah. No. Okay, so there's no threat to cattle. So why are they rounding them up if nobody's living in those areas? You know what I'm saying? Like, if they're on the run and they're moving in each state and it's not livable, then why are they rounding these horses up if that area isn't livable? For what reason? Like,
well,
I know you just said about the cattle and the sheep, but
mm-hmm.
are they bringing the cattle and the sheep on their land? That's
on the horse's land? I mean, there's 250 or 255 million acres of public lands throughout the American West. The Bureau of Land Management does sell some of it off to ranchers. You won't find neighborhoods or so forth on it unless the BLM just sells off a piece of land. But the land that was set aside for the horses, you know, is usually fenced in so that the horses can't truly migrate. They're fenced in within a certain area, and that area could range anywhere from 20,000 acres to perhaps 1 million acres in a few of the HMAs found throughout Wyoming and Nevada especially. And again, it's just that the ranchers don't want the wild horses competing with their livestock for forage. That's
yeah,
the number one reason.
If it's separated, like what you said, with a fence, what gives them a right to go into the fenced area and get the horses?
Because they were tasked with protecting and managing the horses, and the BLM, Bureau of Land Management's thought process on managing the horses is to remove them. I know it sounds insane, and I know it sounds like I might be underplaying it a little bit, but that's just simply what it comes down to. There are other factors in play, too. You have oil wells, natural gas lines, and mining that also goes into these areas. And they've also been a big reason why the Bureau of Land Management has decided to remove wild horses from an area, sometimes entirely. But there's no reason for them to be removed for a mine or oil wells or natural gas lines. And I can't tell you how many herd areas I've been to, and I've been to 40, but how many I've been to where there are just cattle standing around those natural gas line installations or the oil wells. So again, they're only removing the horses just to make room for more cattle. Should they be doing it? Absolutely not. 100% not. And I can't tell you why their insistence is on doing it, except that it's to cater to the livestock interests.
Oh man, I tell you, it's so hard because all humans in these kind of areas and stuff like that, it's all about money. I don't even want to ask, but I will. When they take these horses, where are they putting them?
So remember how I talked earlier about how the stallions and the mares and the foals are all immediately separated from each other? They also then get separated by age. So stallions over a certain, actually all of the stallions that are pulled off the range, the colts and the stallions, they're all immediately gelded for the most part. 99% of them are immediately gelded. So they're no longer stallions. They become geldings. The ones of a certain age, all wild horses of a certain age, are almost immediately shipped to what are called long-term holding pens. These can be pastures that are in Kansas. They can be 70 holding pens within 100 acres in a very dry place in Nevada. And those are an extremely sad sight to see. Horses crammed into holding pens that only get cleaned twice a year. So they're standing in horse manure that's, you know, 2 feet deep. The younger ones, the foals, they are shipped all around the country to different adoption events, hoping that they'll get adopted. So not only have they been removed from the range where they were born and grew up, not only have they been separated from their family members, they're now being shoved into trailers and being shipped all over the country to different adoption events. If they go to at least 3 adoption events and they are not adopted, they can become sale authority horses. There was an amendment slipped into the act by a person from Montana, Conrad Burns, congressman back then, or senator, I forget which, and he slipped in the Burns Amendment, which allows sale authority horses to be purchased truckloads at a time. So sale authority horses can be sold for just $25, and people can go buy as many of them as they like. And this is where we fear that so many of our wild horses are entering the slaughter pipeline and being shipped to Mexico and Canada for the purposes of slaughter. So the horses are pulled off the range. They're either shipped to adoption events, shipped to these long-term holding corrals, or purchased and sold at auctions.
Oh, man, that is such a sad.
Lauren, this is terrible. I mean, it's so heartbreaking.
It's absolutely traumatizing
to the animals. I mean, absolutely traumatizing. Yep. Again, these are not domestic horses. These are wild animals who have never been touched by humans. So it is extremely traumatizing for them.
Did you ever see the movie War Horse?
No. To be honest with you, I have a hard time watching a lot of horse movies just because I find them sad.
But the amazing part of this, just really quick, this kid, his parents, the horse, they had a baby horse. He raised it. He loved it. And then he had to go to war. I'm talking long, 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 long time ago. And in the really amazing thing is that he was a war horse. So when all these things went off, that horse took off so fast that he got caught. But the other, I forgot what soldiers were fighting who. They cut all the barbed wire off of him, and the other man adopted him. But when they went back, because the horse came back, other man, but the horse, for some reason, sensed the owner. Now, I'm talking years later in war, and that horse, he was like all bandaged up, that he got to his horse, and it was his horse, and the horse was so happy. But then they sold the horse, and he didn't have the money. So what happened is this very wealthy man said, you know what? Take the horse. It's your horse. And the horse, he's riding the horse back into the sunset, back on the range with this beautiful horse, and their son lived through all this war. And then you see them, they're in that beautiful mountain area with the sky and everything. I didn't really want to watch it, but it is a true story. But I understand what you're saying, how they do this. It's terrible, because when you said all that, I thought of War Horse, because now you're talking, I don't know, 100 years ago, and they're very similar things, except they don't use them in war, but the way they're treating them in the pen, selling, buying, and not only that, when they get sold, like you said, where's the horse really going?
Yeah, exactly. Where is the horse going? Yeah.
You know, it's a terrible thing. It makes me sick because I feel, you know, when I see animals running like that and they're exhausted, and that's what the humans do. They just keep, eventually, like you said, they tire out. They can't move no more.
I attended last fall in September in Utah. We watched the helicopter bring in a group of about 70 horses. He was out and gone for a long time. He came back with a group of about 70. 40 of them split off and head off for the hills. The other group of 30, he chased that group around for I don't even know how long. And at one point, a little tiny foal got separated from the band of 30. It just couldn't keep up, and it ended up running into the trap all by itself, and they kept it there. They did not let it go. But the remaining group of 30, they fought back. This gorgeous gray stallion separated himself from the band and just stared down that helicopter, and the helicopter finally gave up and let the group of 30 go, but they kept that little foal. Don't think that band, to this day, is not out there still calling for that foal, because I guarantee you they are wondering where that foal went.
This is a horrible thing.
Isn't that sad? I mean, that's torture. That is cruelty, front lines. I mean,
there's so many people that don't think that horses or animals in general are sentient beings, but I have witnessed it personally, horses calling to each other, you know, across entire holding pens area looking for each other. I have visited 40 wild horse herds throughout the West over the last 3 years. And I've watched those horses and how they are with each other out on the range. And their family bonds are very, very tight, very tight. They spend decades together. And it would just be you being separated from your family, you know, in a time of war or in a time of illness or family death. It's the same thing to any and all animals, not just the horses, but all animals. When they grow up so tight and then they're immediately ripped away from each other and they never see each other again.
You know, it's interesting.
This is so sad.
My husband worked with horses. He would go buy them. He'd take all the horses that was malnutrition and brought them all back to the farm. And then he raised all of them. You know, that's what he used to do. And he loved doing that. But then eventually, you know, the farm became, you know, houses and stuff like that. But that's the sad part, because if you own a horse outright and then they have a baby, right? So that in itself, fine, it's your horse, whatever, you can keep the horse. But, you know, having them run like that, and you said some are almost extinct, like they're very little left.
So numerous wild horse herds have been completely zeroed out and removed in so many different areas. 159 herds, to be exact, have been completely zeroed out and removed. There's one herd in Utah called King Top, and there was a roundup performed there several years back. The BLM admitted that all they did was return 25 stallions to the range and no other horses. They did a population count of this particular herd area in March of last year, and their population estimate was one. One horse out there all by himself. He's the last in that area, and he cannot get out of that area to go join another herd. There happens to be one just across the highway because he's fenced in. So that is now a zeroed-out herd area, and they do this over and over and over again. And there are some very unique herds out there, many of them with direct descendants of Spanish Mustangs. The Serbot horses in northeastern Arizona are very uniquely colored horses with very unique markings. The Sulphur herd in Utah, you know, dun-colored horses with the stripings on the legs and the dorsal stripe on their backs. These are horses that should be protected. The Curly horses in Wyoming and Salt Wells Creek, those horses are very rare. It's not often you see a curly-haired horse. Where the entire body of the horse, especially in the winter, is curly, but their mane and tails are curly throughout the summer. They're absolutely gorgeous horses, but they are not being protected. And, in fact, the BLM actually intends to zero out that herd in the not-too-distant future.
So basically, when they round up those unique horses, most likely they're probably breeding those unique horses and then make money.
The BLM does not breed. Remember I said that all of the stallions are almost immediately gelded. There's one herd in Oregon called the Kiger horses, and there are breeders who will pay thousands of dollars for a Kiger stallion. So the BLM will go and round up the Kiger horses, and then they will auction off the Kiger stallions and make thousands of dollars off of it. That's a rare exception. But
wow.
Hello, you still there?
Okay,
go ahead.
What? No, I was going to say, we're just talking, and are they still there?
I'm here.
Yeah.
Okay,
Linda.
I was listening about this strike force.
Yes.
Yeah, Linda, are you there? Did you want to say anything else?
Yeah, I did want to say a couple of little things. One, on the lobby day, we are asking everybody, whether or not you come to D.C. or not, to make appointments either virtually on the phone or Zoom with your congressperson the week we're in D.C. doing our event. We would like everywhere to be calling and making appointments. Call your congressman and both your senators and tell them that you want, you know, humane management and based on the real science. And the other thing is another aspect of the conference is the fact that we're going to be addressing rewilding our public lands and possibly other areas. We have an expert speaker from Rewilding Europe. They've been doing it for over 30 years successfully. And we also are going to be talking more about the fact that horses are truly, actually native to this continent, and they are our horses, and they deserve the protection. So it would be really awesome if everybody out there could make an appointment that week. It's a 15-minute phone call. Just express to your congresspeople and elected officials that you care about the horses. What they're doing now is not right. Our public lands should not be free grazing ranges and extractive industries, abuses. We want them to be nature. They're supposed to be public lands for nature. Those are the main spots that I really wanted to address also. And we want to thank everybody for joining us today.
Yes, and a great informative show too. And looking forward to another show with both of you next month. So once the promo comes out, everyone, I'll be passing it around, you know, because they need all of our support. You know, we want to see change. We got to take action. Okay, no questions asked. If we stand idle, we just might as well hang it up and let the problems prevail and get worse. But we have to stand up.
And Debbie, can I say one more thing?
Of course.
Can I say one more thing?
Go ahead.
They said there, you know, people that take action for the horses are doing something. The people that are acting against the horses are doing something. The people that are sitting in the middle waiting somebody else to do something or waiting for just some things to happen by themselves, you're actually being detrimental to the horse. You've got to either be taking action for it or you're against it, because these horses only have a few more years before there will not be any genetically viable herds left in this country. A lot of them already are three to 20 horses and tens of thousands of acres and sometimes up to a million acres that there's only 300 horses left. So it's going to take all of us.
Yeah, Linda's absolutely right. Yeah, we're at a tipping point with our wild horse herds. I mean, the Bureau of Land Management's goal is to reduce them down to such levels where they won't be able to reproduce with genetically healthy, viable herds. And now is that tipping point. So those of you who've never called your congressperson before, please do it. Those of you who've never written a letter to your congressperson before, please do it. It's not hard. It doesn't need to be a 5-page letter. One simple paragraph will suffice, but they need to know that this is something that their constituents care about, and they need to know that so that when wild horse legislation comes up that will benefit the horses, that they will vote in favor of that legislation as opposed to not in favor of the legislation. If Americans don't make their voices heard, we won't truly get something done to protect these animals before it's too late.
That's right.
I'm endangered species.
Be a part of the solutions, not the ongoing problems. And like you said, hey, if you're expecting everybody else to do something and you're standing idle, you're being part of the problem, ongoing problem. Your voice matters. Your actions matter. If you don't want to make the phone call, do the email. You can find your legislators search it and then put your zip code in and find them. You can contact them by email. I know I do that.
Yeah.
So do whatever you need to do, what you feel comfortable. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And the other thing, Debbie, what we do Zooms and stuff like that to help people learn how to do these things. We have some scripts on the site. And also, if you really have you're nervous, remember these people work for you. And if you still have questions, reach out to Heather and myself. We're always happy to walk people through it, help them on the phone call, and or if you want somebody to partner in on a Zoom with you, we're happy to help people. We want to get people where they're comfortable and realize that these people are working for us and we're going to hold them to a standard, and we want to have our public land where we want to go to them instead of going out and seeing desolate land with a few cows standing on it. We want to see rich, vibrant, dynamic environments with all types of wildlife, not just the horses, the coyotes and the pronghorn and everything else. We deserve that. There are lands. We're paying for it. And these few people that are getting rich off of it, it's time for that is over.
That's right. We got to do something. Enough is enough, everyone. It's enough. It's sickening. It's a disgrace. We've got a call coming in from area code 203. You're live and on the air. Do you have any questions or comments for Linda or Heather? Go right ahead. And Lawrence, please stay on air, okay? Yeah, go ahead.
Debbie, it's Barb. It's Barb.
Hi, Barb.
Summer.
How are you?
Hi. My heart just broke. It really did. I do follow, but I need your site again. Go on, because when I start speaking, I forget what I'm going to talk about. So
SaveOurWildHorses.net.
SaveOurWild. Okay, horses. And you go on there, because I do text my senator here and the people who are involved, and all they do is send a pre-thing letter. Oh, we got your message, and we'll do the best we can, you know, the whole baloney thing. But
yeah, don't be discouraged by that. Just keep contacting them over and over again.
Oh, I will. I will, because I said I volunteered at a horse stable because I went through a trauma.
Yeah.
And I just love horses, and they're so smart, and they're so lovable, and they're so cute. And speaking of a curly horse, they had a curly horse there with the wavy hair. And
yeah.
I didn't know what it was. And I said, what is that? I was like, what kind of hair is that? She goes, oh, that's our curly horse, Quinn. And he's still there. He's a big boy, and he's still there. So I never knew they were like special blends or something. I don't know where they got him from, but it did help. It does help, and they're just beautiful. And I don't understand why they want to do this to them. I just don't
yes,
and
the other thing,
beautiful,
and they bring a
yeah.
certain amount of beauty to the landscape too that I think should be preserved for generations to come.
But anyway,
and it's not just Americans who enjoy them. We get international visitors. Photographers from all around the world come to photograph our wild horses out on the range. That's something that should be looked into. You know, this horse means something to everybody all over the world. If you look at the signatures on the petition, you'll see there's so many international signatures on there from so many different countries. So they're important to all of us.
Right. I sign everything. Horses.
That's right.
I signed it today. I signed it today, too. But I just want
good.
To let you know. I was,
and ladies, I hate to cut you short. The show's going to be cutting down or shutting off.
Yeah, I know.
But,
I just want to say thank you.
Well,
yes.
Thank you so
and
much,
Barb,
Eddie.
Thank you for calling in. And Lauren Contino, a former guest from Save the Animal, Save the World, thank you, Lauren, for all your participation and
thank
involvement.
You,
yes, and Linda and Heather, looking forward to this other podcast coming up April the 20th, 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock Eastern. Everybody, please join in to how you can help out. Because enough is enough. We got to do something. After decade after decade, and it's 2023. It's time for change, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the only way we'll get it to change is we take action. No questions asked. But thank you, ladies, and looking forward to and wishing you the best of the best on this Save Our Wild Horses Conference. April the 22nd through the 26th of this year in Washington, D.C. Everyone, I took some time today, invited friends on their Facebook page, personal invite, so you could do the same to help it grow and expand, okay? And I'm going to keep doing that, too. And it doesn't take that long to invite friends or share on your timeline. But everyone, thank you all for tuning in. And next week we got Chicago Alliance for Animals, Jody Whitecker, and she'll be returning here. She's been on here several times before. We want to welcome her back. And thank you all for tuning in. Have a nice and peaceful evening. Thank you, Linda and Heather, for all
you're
doing.
Good night, ladies.
Bye. And have a nice and peaceful night. And thank you.
Bye. And bye-bye.
Thank you. Bow
in hand, united we stand against all animal cruelty and neglect across the land. Good night, everyone. May God bless you all. Bye-bye.